I'm Tracy Lynn. It's not official, but one news outlet is calling out projected winners of two southern states in the presidential election. NBC News projects President Trump as the winner in North Carolina, offering up 15 electoral votes, while Joe Biden is the presumptive winner in Georgia, yielding 16 additional votes with the Electoral College. Georgia is still mandated to hand count each vote. WTOC's Kristen Rarer says it began this morning.
60 workers and election officials are hand-counting every ballot cast in Chatham County. 28 teams working in two separate shifts to allow for social distancing are working at these tables for the next 6 days, making sure every ballot has been accounted for.
This afternoon's projected Electoral College count, 306 votes for Biden and 232 for Mr. Trump. 270 Electoral College votes are needed to win the election. The General Services Administration has not yet determined an election winner. The other top story at 5, the U.S. shatters its daily record for COVID cases. New York City schools could go to all remote learning next week if cases go above 3%. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Let's say it is over the weekend. We'll immediately alert parents. That school would then be closed in that instance as early as Monday.
The infection rate is at 2.83%, and Governor Cuomo thinks a school infection rate would be a better benchmark than a citywide rate.
And I would encourage the mayor and the teachers union and the parents in New York City to consider that.
In Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot says the new stay-at-home advisory there is more targeted than the one in the spring.
We now have a lot more data, and we can use a surgeon's knife and not just a blunt instrument to try to really go at where we're seeing the biggest risk and help mitigate them.
Lightfoot says the virus is spreading in private places like homes. The order is part of the Protect Chicago campaign and comes as some city areas are seeing positivity rates of 25%. Some people have put forward ideas of a widespread shutdown around the nation.
I get a little upset with the fact that all of these people that are out there that are talking about this, these bureaucrats, these mayors, these governors from these blue states for the most part, not a single one of them have missed a paycheck.
Retired Navy Rear Admiral and Congressman-elect Ronnie Jackson of Texas says
the normal folks that are out there that are on the edge right now, their small businesses have been driven into the ground by this virus already to this extent. They cannot tolerate this.
Two of Joe Biden's coronavirus advisors pushing back today on the idea of a national lockdown in favor of a more nuanced approach. CBS's Stephen Portnoy at the White House.
Aides to the president-elect say without the official ascertainment by the Trump administration that Joe Biden has won, real-time updates on the government's response to COVID have been hard to come by. Biden Transition spokeswoman Jen Psaki says President Trump has been absent from the national COVID conversation.
You know, it's imperative that our team and our experts have that access.
President Trump breaking his silence today.
The past 9 months, my administration has initiated the single greatest mobilization in U.S. history, pioneering, developing, and manufacturing therapies and vaccines in record time.
When it comes to the election, a Republican congressman insists the Trump campaign's challenges are in the best interest of the American people.
I think you've got to go through the process, go through the audit and the recount examination, and then depending on what we find, then you can look at the state legislatures and the certification of electors then. But I think we got to go through this step by step, getting the facts, getting the evidence so the American people fully understand what's at play.
That's Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio. Speaking of Congress, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says a number of House races remain unresolved across the country. If she wins another term as Speaker, Pelosi will likely preside over the slimmest Democratic majority since World War II.
We are still very much involved in these races. We have a number that are just haven't been counted.
Pelosi notes that Democrat Joe Biden has been projected as the winner of the White House. Biden slated to be the first Catholic in the Oval Office since President John F. Kennedy. Meanwhile, a Southern Baptist leader warns that if Republicans lose the U.S. Senate, a sweeping LGBT bill could become law.
At the clear expense of and violation of the religious liberty rights of America's Christian institutions, and other religious organizations.
Dr. Albert Mueller says there's more.
Joe Biden promised that if elected, he would put back into place the Obama administration's contraception mandate without the religious liberty and conscience protections put in in place by the executive order of the Trump administration.
One of the measures is named the Equality Act. Still to come this Friday, planning a strike in PA, winning re-election in New York, and one boy's Christmas wish.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The co-op for tonight, across the area we'll have clouds and starlight, low temps 30s and low 40s. On Friday, clouds and sunshine with high temperatures in the lower 50s. Friday night into Saturday morning brings a few flurries and sprinkles to parts of New York State, patchy clouds in Pennsylvania. Later Saturday, it's sunshine high in the 40s. Sunny is cloudy with showers.
Thank you, Kevin. Now closer to home, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Despite setting records for new COVID cases four times this week, there are no plans to return Pennsylvania to a color-coded coronavirus mitigation system.
It is going to come down to the individual responsibility that people show to wear a mask, to social distance, and to avoid not only large gatherings, but, you know, we're recommending that they avoid small gatherings.
PA Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine.
And that's going to be really hard for people over the holidays. And I understand that. It's going to be hard as we're approaching Thanksgiving in 2 weeks and then Christmas and New Year's. But that is exactly what we're asking people to do.
More than 5,500 new COVID cases were reported yesterday, breaking the previous record set just a day earlier. Most of the Commonwealth's 67 counties have an infection rate higher than 5%. Meanwhile, more than 2,000 nurses in Pennsylvania are planning to strike next week amid skyrocketing coronavirus infections. Family Life's Bob Price reports.
Hospitals in the Commonwealth are overwhelmed, as many are across the country. Four times this week, Pennsylvania set a new record for coronavirus cases. There were almost 5,500 new infections yesterday. Now the union that represents Pennsylvania nurses says these frontline workers are being pushed to the brink. The COVID tracking project reports over 67,000 people are in the hospital right now because of the pandemic, the most since it began. Bob Price, Family Life News.
The Empire State reporting nearly as many COVID cases as PA today, 5,400 new positive tests with a statewide rate of 2.29%. Also in New York, Congressman John Katko is heading back to Capitol Hill for a second term in January. The Republican incumbent was able to build enough of a gap over Democrat Dana Bolter during the counting of absentee ballots to be declared the winner. It's the second time Katko has held off a challenge from Bolter in the New York 24. And the opioid emergency declaration is back on in Pennsylvania for a 12th time. Family Life's Terry Diener reports.
Governor Wolf says the declaration allows the state to loosen regulations so state officials can work outside the usual procedures to speed up help and initiatives for those struggling with opioid use disorder. According to Wolf, the declaration is important in allowing state resources to be reorganized and allows agencies to work together to mitigate the opioid crisis. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Next at 5, we get insights from Albany and Harrisburg with lobbyists Jason McGuire and Michael Gear.
Jason, the big story, of course, this week in New York is those COVID rates of infection continue to go up. What's caught a lot of our listeners by surprise is that 10-person limit at gatherings in private households. Let me ask you a two-part question to that. First of all, is that an overreach of the governor? And secondly, how do you even begin to enforce that?
Yeah, I mean, I think clearly it is an overreach. You know, who I have in my home, I think there's some clear constitutional issues there, at least from where I sit. And again, I'm not an attorney, but just as reading through that, you got to believe there's some constitutional issues with that limit on private gatherings in your home. As far as enforceability, though, that's the problem. The governor knows you can't enforce this. Sheriffs are not going to enforce this measure. And what troubles me is how the governor is ruling today, really by press release, press conference, by edicts that simply come down from on high, rather than true legislation that can be taken to court. So just because it can't be enforced doesn't mean it's right for the governor to do what he's doing.
All right, let's talk more about the election. Of course, Michael, all eyes are on Pennsylvania. They've kind of become the poster child for how not to conduct an election. What are the chances, you think, that Pennsylvania will ultimately act to rein in mail-in voting? That seems to be the big headline, that mail-in vote. And any chance that realistically will happen, or has that genie left the bottle?
Well, of all the years for the changes to be made, you know, to pick the 2020 election cycle to be the one to introduce the mail-in voting, many people are looking backwards and saying, why did the legislature do this? So I think the legislature will look to try to put the toothpaste back in the tube. But with the governor sitting there in the governor's mansion with the ability to veto anything the legislature does, I don't see it changing significantly, although there'll be a lot of pressure to do so.
Yes, there will. And if there's any time to act, I would think that when you have Republicans have both the House and the Senate, now would be a good time. Jason, yes. Let me ask you, the Election Trust Tracker, which is a poll put out by Politico, kind of interesting stuff when we Monday morning quarterback this election. 7 in 10 Republicans do not think that the election was fair and free. Now, conversely, 10% of Democrats feel that way. But still, that's a startling number. What is it going to take, in your opinion, to restore confidence in our elections again?
You know, as you just had the question there regarding the mail-in balloting in Pennsylvania, it's a similar question here in New York. And it's just not a process that anybody is trustful of right now. I'd like to see us purge the voter rolls and basically start from scratch. It is very, very difficult for boards of elections even to keep current. When someone dies, their name is not removed. When they move, they often remain eligible to vote in the former county, and that leaves opportunities for fraud. And so I'd like to see those voter rolls purged. And really, if we're going to do early voting, I can get on board with that, but I would like to see in-person voting being the driver for what we do in our election process.
Yeah, I don't know the name of the state lawmaker in Harrisburg who said this, but I agree wholeheartedly. It's not about who wins and loses. It's about restoring trust in the system. Michael, I'll end with you. In your opinion, what do you think it's going to take to restore confidence in our election system?
Well, number one is for the process to go forward as it is with the court cases that have been filed here in Pennsylvania. I think those need a free and complete hearing. I think it needs a change in the attitude of the news media and in social media and other things. We continually are being either told just to accept the election results, you know, being told that by the very same people who put resist bumper stickers on their car after the 2016 elections. It's going to be a long road back, but the biggest thing that is needed is transparency, and I think doing what Jason said in what he suggested for New York, the same thing here in Pennsylvania. Let's kind of reset the voter rolls. Let's start from scratch and get those cleaned up, and that will go a long way to clean things up.
That's Jason McGuire and Michael Gear speaking with Family Life's Bob Price. You can catch up on each of the Family Life news features at fln.org/podcasts. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life. Now it's time for Drive Home Sports with Family Life's Sonny Delfiette.
Thank you, Tracy. Yeah, football news. Buffalo Bills travel west to play the Arizona Cardinals in Glendale. The Cardinals are 5-3, led by quarterback Kyler Murray. They're second in a tough NFC West. The Bills lead the AFC East at 7-2. Josh Allen coming off a 415-yard performance against the Seattle Seahawks. The 8-0 Pittsburgh Steelers may play the 2-5-1 Cincinnati Bengals without starting quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, who may miss the game due to COVID-19 protocols. Baker Mayfield just coming off of those protocols, who returned to practice this week as the 5-3 Cleveland Browns prepare for a Sunday matchup with the 2-6 Houston Texans. And the New York Giants hosting the Philadelphia Eagles at MetLife Stadium. Philly quarterback Carson Wentz, 12 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Giant quarterback Daniel Jones, 8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Eagles lead the NFC East at 3-4-1. The Giants are 2-7. The Jets have the weekend off. At Augusta, Dustin Johnson, among three others, tied for a four-way tie at 9-under at the Masters. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiette.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The main issue this weekend will be the arrival of a strong cold front on Sunday. But in the meantime, look for a mostly cloudy night. There'll be a shower in spots this evening, a flurry in spots late. Low temperatures mainly 30s. For tomorrow, mostly sunshine in central and eastern Pennsylvania. Morning clouds and a flurry followed by sunshine elsewhere. High temps in the 40s. Sunday, becoming very windy and milder. Cloudy skies, showers arriving. Could be a brief wintry mix at the start in central New York. High temperatures on Sunday, though, reaching into the 50s. Winds, though, in some spots, will be gusting past 50 miles an hour as the day wears on.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, an unusual wish list for Christmas from an 8-year-old North Carolina boy. Instead of toys and electronics, Landon Harrison's asking for food and blankets for the homeless in his community.
Everyone should get a chance to have some food, shelter, even the homeless should.
Everything on his list for the majority is for someone else. What 8-year-old asks for that?
His mom, Audra, says,
I was going to try not to cry, but he's always been like that. He's always been others first. I'm extremely proud. I couldn't be more proud.
She says Landon has her full support.
When it comes to kids and them wanting to change the world, I mean, what parent wouldn't want to stand behind their child and help them reach that goal?
Landon plans to deliver the food and blankets to the homeless on Christmas Day. We can learn a lot from kids. That's the world we live in this 13th of November. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
The 5 o'clock report was sponsored in part by Phil Jones Seedway Farm Partner.